Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:22 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 16th. And I apologise for the late recording again today, but I've been on the road. I'm just off the plane back from the tech symposium in London that I attended on Monday, and this has been another interesting day here, but most particularly in the currency markets, we can see that the euro has had really quite a substantial intraday move. It's moving to a new recovery high. More importantly, it's found support here in the region of the upper side of that underlying range, and that also coincides with the area of the trend mean. So then we now have, it's very clear evidence, as if we didn't have it already, that that was a failed downside break below 105 at the end of December, beginning of January. And now the odds on bet really is that we're going to go back up and test the upper side of the range, which is around 115. That's against a background where there was a pretty much universal coalescence around the idea that we were going to have an indefinitely strong dollar. But when we look at the dollar index, then we're going to see that it has now failed in the region of the 100 area. And you know, that's a substantial move, because it had labored under that 100 area for a fair amount of time, and now it has failed to sustain the break above it. And this is looking increasingly like a failed upside break. There has been a progression of lower rally highs since really November, and that is despite the fact that, that Trump winning the election was considered to be generally bullish. But we're getting increasing evidence that he is anti the dollar. He doesn't want a particularly strong dollar. And that would certainly appear to be the pace with which, or the view that the government is taking. The yen is also standing out here, because it had been trying to get up towards that 115 area, and it is currently around, well, it closed out today at 113, but right now it's at 112.45, so it is down additionally in early morning trading in Asia. And we can see here that this is an area of resistance, that it had done really quite well. And when we look at the medium term chart, we're really presented with this progression of lower rally highs. It had got right back to test the most recent of those. It unwound the short term overbought condition, and now is the big question: how much of this gain can the dollar hold? And considering that the dollar isn't especially strong right now, well, that would suggest that we could be in for a little bit of rock and roll in dollar yen. And that's meaningful for the Nikkei, because the Nikkei has been up there around that 20,000 level. It is, and with a somewhat strong, or excuse me, weaker, excuse me, stronger yen, then that is going to have an impact. So it has been pausing here around the 20,000, but it is down a little bit again in here today. But we can also see on the short-term chart that it did race to get up there, that it rallied 1,500 points in a really short period of time, and it was due some pause and consolidation. And as long as that's all it is, as long as it is only a pause and consolidation, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And this 20,000 level for the Nikkei is really quite important. But we should also, I think, continue to keep an eye on the topics, because it is the much larger index. And when we look at it on that really long-term chart, something different could be happening. It is a bit further away from a big psychological level than the Nikkei is, but if it can sustain a move above 1750, well, then we will be breaking out to new recovery highs, highs that we haven't seen since the early 1990s, and that would be representative of a sea change in sentiment towards Japan. So it's a, perhaps we could say it's a bit of a wait and see, because we're in something of a reactionary phase right now. But I suspect that, and I'm still long of the Nikkei. I'm willing to sit through a pullback, because I will use it as an additional opportunity to increase my position. I do think that we're going to see the Nikkei trading higher later this year. But the other two markets that are in the same neighborhood as the as Japan are Taiwan and South Korea. So the TAIEX has been laboring around this 10,000 level, but it is still above it. It is been, you know, it's been quite steady over the last few days. This has been a generally orderly uptrend over the last year, where we have a number of steps. Those steps have been comparatively similar sized, but the duration of them has been less consistent. But right now, it is pushing to new highs, and as long as this continues to do that, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And South Korea had done really phenomenally well, but and despite the fact that it pulled back sharply at the beginning of last week, it has rallied. It has held the vast majority of this breakout, and there is no denying that there is a short-term overbought condition. But when you look at this on a 10-year basis, there is a lot underlying this breakout, that it has been going sideways since 2011. So yes, there's a short-term overbought condition, but we're really only in the early stages of what could be a really quite spectacular breakout. And of course, I think that a lot of people will be looking at Samsung Electronics, because that has led, and led by a fairly considerable margin. It broke out at really the beginning of last year, and it continues to do rather well. And of course, that is a major constituent of the index. Well, if we're talking about major constituents of indices, then there is no denying that Alphabet is drawing increasingly close to that $1,000 level, and it has so far been there. We have had seen very little in the way of pullbacks. So, when you think about it, where would people begin to think about taking profits? Then potentially that's going to be $1,000. Which of them, which is it going to be that's going to get there first? Will it be Amazon or will it be Google? There is, I think the odds-on bet right now is Amazon would appear to have the better momentum, but that's the point, is that momentum doesn't last indefinitely, and we know that these types of shares are susceptible to rather large pullbacks. And of course, the other share that has been really making headlines, not least because the CEO can't seem to stay out of the limelight with all his new business ideas, Tesla has been really consolidating, having broken out of what was in effect an almost 3-year range. So as long as it is holding the breakout, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, regardless of the unfortunately for fundamental investors, and because it's a very high momentum stock, it's a difficult stock to buy and then to continue to own, because it is susceptible to very high volatility. But nonetheless, a breakout is a breakout, and we have to give it the benefit of the doubt so long as it is holding. And when we look at the commodity markets, the gold price is continuing to hover here above that $1,200 area. This is about where it needs to find support if the progression of higher reaction lows is going to hold. And so far, it has been relatively steady. When we look at platinum, there is at least some evidence. Oops, sorry, I'm typing as if I had a Bloomberg in front of me. That there is some evidence coming in that platinum is finding support around this psychological $900 area. And again, this is also a previous area of support, and it is where we might have anticipated that the support might begin to come back in. And oil prices have continued to make headlines too. But despite the fact that the headlines that I saw, both in the paper and online, before getting on the plane this morning, or this afternoon, was along the lines of, oh, there's been a big move in oil, and that it has, as the result of this continued commitment to keeping the reduction in production all the way through to into next year. But when I look at the chart, that's not what I'm seeing. There was a short-term oversold condition, and that has largely now been unwound. The easy part of the advance has already occurred, and this is still a market that where there is abundant supply. And I think it is interesting. I'm going to post this report tomorrow. It was from Morgan Stanley, and they're taking the opposite view, that they think that the market is in deficit and is likely to be in significant deficit. And I'm rather more of the opinion that that is not what the price action is telling us. The price action is telling us that this is a very volatile environment, and that it is really more of a swing trading environment rather than a trend following environment, and that it's going to be more difficult. It's going to be increasingly difficult, I think, to trade oil prices. And something I've believed for really what feels like a long time now is that I really do think that natural gas gives us a template for what we might expect from oil prices. That we have had the crash, we get this massive and very impressive rally. This happened in late 2009 for natural gas, but subsequently we get a very volatile, rangy environment, and that really helps to nail down the argument about supply. There is abundant supply of natural gas, and that the quantity of natural gas that can be brought to market at prices north of 450, that has helped to ensure that we don't get sustained moves above $5. And I think that that is the kind of environment we could see in oil, that there is a huge amount of additional oil could be brought to bear if prices were above $60. And that very fact is going to ensure that prices don't stay above that level for very long. And when we look at the government bond markets, I think that the US 2-year, and I'm not typing particularly well, is one of the most important charts out there, because if we just look at it over the last 10 years, what it looks like is a completed base formation. That we can argue all day, all week, all month about when it's going to break out, but it looks like a completed base formation. The fact that we are having such an enormous argument about whether there's inflation or deflation is largely beside the point. It's that really is more of a reflection of the fact that we are in the disbelief stage of the psychological perception stages of major bull and bear markets, and that only contributes to the conclusion that this is a completed base formation. Bonds remain one of the most risky asset classes. And I think a point that I have made, and I've definitely shown the chart in comment of the day over the last couple of weeks, has been the correlation between 10-year treasury yields and the Nikkei has increased again. That correlation broke down for a while, but it's back in action now. So if we get yields breaking out, then a lot of people have asked me what's the best way of playing a potential bear market in bonds. And I think that the easy answer is that to buy equities, but most particularly to buy Japan, because that's the country that has wanted inflation so badly and has not been able to get it. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.